Yes, happy Friday to you. Welcome to Four Quarter Friday. This is the culmination of the 2025-26 athletic calendar in the South Carolina High School League. The last of the champions will be crowned this weekend. We've already seen legacies bolstered. We'll tell you about that. Agony and defeat and a lot of memories made. Don't doubt this. Baseball always delivers. Get to a field, get to a diamond, get to a park. Baseball delivers. We will congratulate those that have already crossed the line, received their flowers, and dig into the series that have yet to be decided. We will do that with Lou Bazejack from the State Newspaper. This is Four Quarter Friday presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. I'm Matt Smith. There is Rob Williams. Rob, we will get to your game in just a little bit, but tell us your story. You were at Dorman James Island, and we will get to that story, but tell us what you were seeing, because what's so much fun about this time of year, especially maybe with the way the weather has wreaked havoc on the scheduling, is that you and I, and in your case, I'm in front of the computer, you're on the phone, you're kind of like trying to keep up with everything that's happening, knowing, and then you try to remember, oh, is this game one? Is this game two? What does this mean? They're in the third inning. What happened? Tell us about like your story as you journey through the state, going from the Midlands to the upstate and back.
Well, first of all, happy Friday, Smitty, and welcome in. It's good to be here with you, as always, in the Hewitt Domodedros Law Studio, hdlawsc.com. We're with you here every Friday, and fourquarterfriday.com, brought to you by On3 and Rivals, coming up very soon. My story, Smitty, has been an interesting one, as I have been able to kind of get around the Midlands and the upstate, to your point. I was at AC Flora on Wednesday, prepared to see game one there, and they sang the national anthem, and the teams were stepping onto the field, and then we got an announcement that there was a lightning delay. Okay, well, buckle up. Get the best hot dog in Forest Acres. I have one every time I'm over there. And buckle in for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Oh, hold on.
They do have a great concession stand at AC Flora.
Here's what I'll say about the concession stand at AC Flora. I'll spoil the rest of my story. They never played, Smitty. They never played. It was another lightning delay, and then the rain began to fall, and the tarp came on. But as I left the park, I heard one of the men walking over to the cash box, and he said, "We're out. We sold them all the burgers, all the hot dogs. They didn't even play a baseball game, Smitty, and they sold out of everything in the concession stand." So credit to them. That tells you exactly the quality of what's going on over there, fresh off the grill over there in Forest Acres. But yeah, so I didn't see any of that game one, because I was then going up to Dorman and James Island. And you're right, I ran into some trouble yesterday, as my phone battery, Smitty, is doing this thing. You're not over on the iPhone side of the world, but they begin to melt, I think, at some point. And I've had this happen with my last few iPhones, where after a year, 18 months, 2 years, somewhere in there, it gets really hot randomly. And when it does that, your battery life begins to just fade out. And that was happening to me yesterday. So I was nursing the phone battery, trying to post from Four Quarter Friday what's going on there at Dorman and James Island, trying to keep up with Diamond Prospects and in Forest Acres at AC Flora, keeping up with Lou Bazejack, who was at TL Hanna and Chapin. So many different things happening. It is tough to kind of keep up with it. I have the running notes in my phone, kind of spreadsheet style, for the morning minute to update every day. And as we've made our way through the spring, Smitty, it has become easier and easier, actually, as we're now down to just baseball and softball. I just have to update those two every day, and not soccer, lacrosse, golf. What am I missing? Boys tennis. I'm missing
soccer. Yeah.
All of it.
So, track.
That's what it was. Yeah. So down to just softball and baseball, but we do have some winners, as you said, to celebrate today. Not the thriller in the upstate that maybe we were looking for, in terms of the clash of titans and talent between Dorman and James Island, as a sixth spot in the bottom of the third really put Dorman out front and put that one. I don't want to say out of reach. We've seen what we thought was out of reach in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. And it's not been out of reach, but you know, I was sitting there and I was talking to the people that are around me, and that was kind of our thought process. I was actually sitting amongst some James Island's fans, and it was just, you know, it's never over. But after that bottom of the third there for Dorman, it was actually over in Roebuck. So the Trojans not able to pull back within striking range, as they got one after that 9-3 deficit, and ends up being a 9-4 win for Dorman. So, but you can see the talent. Taj Marchand,
yeah,
just finding the baseball when he's at the plate.
Taj Marchand was like 4-for-4, I think, when they clinched over River Bluff. And that may have even been the game they lost in extras when he was 4-for-4.
I think it was.
And wasn't he like 4-for-4 last night too? Marchand?
He just finds the baseball. I'm just telling you. It Austin Alexander was with us before, and he said he swings at pitches that you shouldn't swing at, but he finds them and puts them in a gap.
Gaps them. Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. And to his credit, so did Palmer Hornick. He was able to go.
I think he was 3-for-4 last night.
Yeah, and it looks like it's on replay as he launches the ball into right field a couple of times. It looks like the same play. And that was the echoes around the stands were, that looked exactly like the last at bat. You know, right. It's the ball.
Like if you throw it where he can. Yes. Yeah. So that's right. So those that didn't get to play baseball at a high level, when you're at the plate against good pitching, and at this stage, it's good pitching that Marchand and Palmer Hornick and everybody is facing here in the state championships, good high school pitching. It's supposed to be baseball is hard. Hitting is hard, like being defensive. But to your point, I've seen some of the film on this. It's like Marchand, who was the 5A player of the year last year, Palmer Hornick, who could be the 5A player of the year this year out of Dorman. It's like that if they can reach it, they are just going to put it where they want to. They're the ones you are not supposed to be able to direct in baseball. You can produce, like you can hit the ball hard and you can produce. You're not supposed to be able to direct. But to your point, it looks like almost video game-ish that they are like hitting it with a tennis racket where they're putting the ball like, oh, well, I want to serve it here to right center. I see a gap there. And it doesn't matter whether you throw them fastball low and away, breaking ball, you know, they try to, you know, dive in with a breaking ball, something off speed, low and away. Doesn't seem to matter. Marchand and Hornick just look like they're hitting a tennis racket and just volleying the ball out there.
They do. You know, and a couple other things that stick out from the game, you know, Jack Jolly mentioned, obviously Dorman wins the game, so there's a couple of highlights there. Jack Jolly mentioned before that, you know, Luke Thompson is kind of that two-hole guy who doesn't get a lot of attention, but he's there to State's far as the leadoff. And so Luke Thompson's job, for those who don't follow baseball as closely, is to move State's far over so that when Palmer Hornick comes up and inevitably does what you just talked about, State's far is coming from second. And by the way, that kid has absolute wheels.
Yeah.
And so he's probably coming home if Palmer Hornick gets a single. So that was exactly what we saw. And I saw it time and time again. There were obviously, you know, Luke Thompson able to get on last night as well, but he just does his job. And it kind of goes to show exactly what Coach Jolly was talking about. The other thing that I'll mention is we've talked about Carter Nash.
Who's young. I think he's a freshman, right?
He is
Carter Nash, freshman at Dorman.
He is a freshman.
So that's why these other plays like Palmer Hornick, we talk about going to Virginia Tech. Taj Marchand's on his way to Ole Miss. Connor Wells, starting pitcher for Dorman, is LSU, I think. I've checked that. But the point is, we talk about where everybody's committed. We always say Carter Nash. We don't mention a college because he's a freshman.
Well, he hit a bomb over the left field fence, and it's just the power's there. You can see it. And honestly, like his approach is mature for a freshman. Obviously, he's still got some growth, and there's still opportunities for him to get better for sure. But yeah, just just a lot of potential that you can see there. And obviously I saw him during the four quarter Friday spring football tour in spring practice on the football field as well. And just an athlete in both arenas.
Yeah. He's doing the Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson thing where he's having to go back and forth.
He is.
So we have, that is the setup. Now, listen, we've also got state championships to talk about that have already been decided, like Southside Christian winning its fifth consecutive state championship. Congratulations to them. Chapin winning under Del Lever in his first season there. The 12th state championship in Chapin's history. That continues to be a baseball factory. So we've got a lot of congratulations to go around. We'll dig into it in our next segment, the second quarter. Our first quarter has been presented by Bill Maloney, Farm Bureau Insurance. That is Rob Williams, really passive aggressive with the iPhone comment. We'll dig into that with Lou Bazejack as well on the Leading Edge guest line, the States. Lou Bazejack joins us on Four Quarter Friday next. Back on Four Quarter Friday, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. Lou Bazejack joins us now from the State on the Leading Edge guest line. And Lou, it would not have mattered what you looked like, where you were sitting. Look, man, if you're in your underpants, if you're in your jockeys, there's nothing we can say because you pulled a doubleheader last night. Not only did you catch Chapin winning 12th state championship in the school's history, but you got all the interviews, you got all the work done, you got your story filed, and then you got over to AC Flora and caught a walk-off victory for Andy Hallett and the Falcons. So we can't thank you enough for doing all of that work that you do for fans in the state, readers in the state, but then also hopping on to tell us all about it this morning.
Appreciate you having me on. Yeah, it was a late night at Falcon Field for sure, but a great high school baseball game, and they'll do it again in a little bit, in about 10 hours for game two, as Airport looks to stay alive and force game three scheduled for tomorrow.
Lou, my first question is, as I was at Dorman and James Island last night, were we matching 2 days in a row, or was that just on Wednesday night at Flora when we wore the same shirt? Did you go with another one from the pack, or?
No, I doubled up.
I had different.
I'll probably wear one of those tonight. Yeah, the hoodie. Yeah, the short sleeve hoodies. So yeah.
Oh, wait, this is the short sleeve. See, I wasn't there. I didn't see you guys. So this is like a Lamont Paris look that you guys are following here, the short sleeve. Or it's like a Bill Belichick.
Yeah, it's sort of, except we don't rip our sleeves. But yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
You don't rip them. You just buy them that way. Yeah, Bill, you could buy them that way. He could be such a, what a gorilla. What a, Lou, tell us first, we will get to what happened AC Flora, of course, in the walk-off. That one was delayed, but tell us about Chapin, because, I mean, that was so exciting, and it was, if you would give me the player's name quickly with the two homers for Chapin, because that's so cool to hit two homers and win a state championship, and as he put it in your interview afterward, like, he loves this community. So anybody that thinks that like this doesn't matter to these kids, or they're thinking about NIL and all that stuff, forget that. This guy wanted to do it in front of like his friends in the stands, all the parents that had helped the community that had been around him all these years. And he's on his way to Florence Darlington Tech, where I'm sure he'll excel. But like you could see, he was beaming last night.
Yeah, he was excited. Felix Fletcher Ruiz, had a great game. He's had a solid season. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was all state. And then last night, really, they needed it in the first inning when T.O. Hanna scored two, took the lead. And then in the bottom of the first, he hits a two-run homer. And then in the fourth, first pitch of the inning, he drilled one. And he was locked in. And Coach Lever said it after. He's like, I want to talk to him before his first at bat, but he looked too focused and ready, and he definitely was. And a huge night to your final high school game, hit two home runs and help your team to a state championship. Pretty cool moment.
Yeah, Lou, I'm kind of the designated environment question asker. When you talk about his desire to do that in front of his home crowd. One of the things that we always like to highlight is the value of the communities that are around these schools and around these players. What was the, you know, we could see the reaction on the field. What was the reaction from the fan base there at Chapin last night when the game was finally over?
It was crazy. I've never seen, I was there in 18 when they won, and I've never seen that many people piled in. I mean, they were 6-7 rows deep just standing, plus all the seats and the stands full, and they got the visiting football stand right behind them, and they were lined up all across the row, all across the outfield, and it was just a great high school environment, and they were loud, and they were into it from the first pitch on, so, and it was pretty cool to see them win that state championship at home.
Yeah, it's incredible, certainly for those players, and you love to see a dog pile, and then I think Chapin, yeah, look at all that bleached hair too, Lou. Did you get any story about, because look, this is something teams do sometimes in the springtime. You see college teams do it or high school teams do it. It's a solidarity thing. So did you get a backstory about bleaching everything? And I noticed head coach Del Lever didn't partake.
Now you see that a lot. You don't see the coaches too much. You did last weekend in soccer, Laura, Coach Navarro. He dyed his hair. The girls dyed their hair red, and he dyed his mohawk red. But, yeah, the coaches aren't dyeing it. And it's just, yeah, just they decided to do it at the start of the playoffs. A lot of baseball and soccer definitely do it for sure. You don't see the basketball players. Usually don't see football do it either. But it was pretty cool. That was as solidary, and everyone had the blonde hair, and probably will be trying to get it all out today, get that blonde hair and go back to normal.
Yeah, but that's, it looks good though if you're living that lake life, right? You get the tan, got the bleached hair. It works for them. Tell us a little bit about Del Lever as well, because here's someone, this is the dream. I don't know if he knows precisely how to react, because he's been an assistant coach all these years around Chapin, just knowing that power, the draw of that community. He takes the job, and then in his first season there, lands on top, leads his team to a state championship. So, I mean, look, all year long, they were great. We kind of talked about this previously. We saw this could be coming. Chapin was one of the contenders. But still, to pay it off in your first year, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, he had been assistant at Dutch Fork, and he won a state championship as assistant 2 years ago at Lexington. So like he said last night, he's like, I knew what to expect being in that other dugout and watching them and calling pitches, pitching and just facing Chapin and knowing the tradition and the history. He went to Newberry. He lives 5 minutes from the school. So when the job came open, it was definitely something that he wanted. And he talked about the interview process and then the first meeting with the team, and just knowing they had the talent and that it could be a special year. And it turns out they struggled a little bit at the beginning, finished, I think, in a three-way tie for first in the region. And they got a first-round bye in the Division II playoffs, and then they won every game. And then they allowed three runs or less in every playoff game, and got great pitching from Mac Berry to Griff Harper. And then Brewer Haggard comes in last night and closes the door. Two big spots in the sixth, was able to get out of it, and then they got a leadoff guy on in the seventh, and they were able to turn a double play and then get the final out.
Lou Bajak here from the State Newspaper with us on the Leading Edge guest line on Four Quarter Friday. Lou, again, credit to you for keeping up with so many moving parts, and we're all in this together trying to cover 300 plus high schools in the state of South Carolina, but today is about champions. But I do want to take just a moment to look across the field in that game last night. T.L. Hanna made quite a run through the playoffs. It was really, really unexpected. We've talked about it the past couple of weeks here as they just continued to move forward. What did you see in terms of fight out of the club on the other side of the field from Chapin last night? Obviously the Eagles get it done, but what do you see on the other side from a team that was the Cinderella story of these high school playoffs?
Yeah, I think they finished with a 500 record, maybe. That was their, I think they were like 19-18, but yeah, just they shot. I mean, they showed last night. I mean, after losing at home the night before, coming out and jumping out on a lead, and then even getting down 4-2, they come back, get it 4-3, and come close. Good fight, and it was fun. They had a lot of talented players. Jackson Robinson, one of them. Reese Oakley. They're really a fun group to watch, and a heck of a run in the upper state to get to this point for sure.
Lou, you made it to AC Flora, so you can take us through kind of your journey and when you decided even to go over there, you know, how you made that decision, say, oh, I get a double header in with the way this is going. But you got to AC Flora, saw a walk-off victory for Andy Hallett, and that's it. Andy Hallett is moving on, so that is the last time the famed, legendary Andy Hallett, 7-time state champion, is going to coach on that field, at least as the home head coach.
Well, maybe because 4A is does it different. So if Airport wins tonight, game 3 is at Flora. So be at Flora. Yeah, 4A is, for some reason, they decide not to do a neutral site for the third game. So they would be at home tomorrow if they would lose tonight. But so it might not, it could have been, but yeah, it was just a heck of a game. It was postponed Tuesday, rain. They never got on the field then. I was there Wednesday. They do the national anthem. And then the lightning delay, and then another lightning delay, and then the rain came and the tarp. So they called it like around 9:30. But last night they had a lightning delay at the beginning. They pushed, it was supposed to start at a little after 8, and then they got going. And then I think around 11, there was another lightning delay for about an hour, or it ended around 11, the lightning delay. So they had to resume. And then I knew once the second lightning delay, I'd be able to get down there. And I did. Got there around the fifth inning and was able to see the final five innings. Great pitching game matchup. Both teams, the starters, Rylan Bullis and Tyler Hernandez, pitched great. In the bullpen, Daniel Butts for Airport. And then you had Rig Scott, who was awesome for Flora, and then they handed it to Monty Lafitte. Scott could come back tonight if needed because they kept him under 45 pitches. So great job by the bullpen, and Flora was able to finally get it done. Butts was pitching good for Airport, but he took a line drive right off his arm, and he had to leave the game. So who knows if he was able to stay in. It could have played a little bit longer, but they were able to get two on to start the 10th, and then Logan Price with a single up the middle to end it. And it was a pretty exciting moment. A lot of the fans stayed around. It was a very intense atmosphere for sure between the two fan bases. So and expect that tonight, probably even more people. Airport's an awesome place to watch a baseball game, just the way it's set up and kind of like an amphitheater setting. You got the two levels, and it'll be a fun matchup tonight.
Yeah, Lou, I told Smitty earlier, maybe this was off the air, but I had a similar thought process as you. But coming from Dorman, I wasn't sure I was going to make it all the way down there to Forest Acres last night. Had I known it was going to go 10 innings, I could have just kept driving past my exit and come on down. But no, I was going to ask about Rick Scott and Monty Lafitte. I heard, you know, obviously Coach Hallett said last night Monty hasn't pitched in about a month, I believe, and Riggs being a younger guy, the younger brother of Charlie Scott, who is probably the name that South Carolina high school baseball fans may know a little better. What did you see out of both of those guys? Because you really needed a gutsy performance from both of those pitchers to come in and kind of hold it. Coach Hallett also mentioned not a lot of runs, not a lot of base runners, which has not been typical of this AC Flora team. That's what happens when you're off for a week. What did you see out of those two pitchers who, after Hernandez is out, are maybe not the expectation to come in and be the heroes? And on that note, Logan Price as well.
Yeah, Scott has been solid all year out of the bullpen, and he's got a lot of energy. I know walking off the mound the one inning, he was really fired up.
Yeah.
Great athlete. Like you said, he's Charlie's brother. Has a chance to possibly be AC Flora's quarterback this year, or at least we'll be competing for the quarterback job. He was really bringing it in. Lafitte had a little up and down. They were able to hit him a little bit, but he's tough. And just the way he battled, and just but both teams' pitching staffs were great. Airport probably had to use theirs a little bit more because probably want to have, but I don't know if he'll be available but especially pitch count and an injury. And they can bring in Dunlap, who's kind of tough to hit. He had three-quarter motion, so it makes it a little tough. So it's going to be interesting how both teams use their pitching tonight. We'll have Cash Epps going for Airport and Sam McCutchen for Flores. So it'll be another great pitching matchup. Don't expect maybe a lot of runs tonight either, just the way both pitchers are throwing in the postseason.
Lou, we'll shift gears just quickly. I want to get your thoughts on softball in just a moment, maybe from a big picture perspective. We'd make sure we talk about some of those championships that have been claimed. But also, you've been covering high school sports a long time. I've been involved in it, at least tangentially, you know, for a long time, covering it for quite a while as well. And Jerome Singleton will no longer be the South Carolina High School League director. And it's like, that's all we've known. That's all we've known, right? I don't know if you remember, but I certainly wasn't around when the executive director before Jerome Singleton. So what do you know about what will come next, I guess, for the South Carolina High School League and what the future may hold?
Yeah, I vaguely remember Ronnie Matthews, who was before Jerome. They voted this week to have the Personnel and Finance Committee conduct interim commissioner. They hope to have, I was told that they wanted to have it in place by July 1st. So interviews could possibly start as early as next week when they get the candidates. I don't know if there'll be any on staff candidates and I don't know where they will go. If they a sitting person either on the executive committee or maybe a retired person, because you're basically going to have to give up your job. If you have a real job, a regular job that who knows how long it could be, for a few months, because then they'll still be conducting the search. So, yeah, it's going to be a changing thing. And also a couple other members of the staff have taken other jobs and will be leaving. So it's definitely going to be a little bit of a transition for the South Carolina High School League staff.
All right, and what about softball, Lou? Just we're obviously going to list those championships and those champions coming up, but just from a big picture perspective, Lou, about what you know about some that have been claimed and your thoughts on some of the softball championships we've seen. Some of them, as we highlighted at the beginning, legacies have been strengthened, and then a couple surprises.
Yeah, I mean, you got Somerville win another championship. They've been strong. Them and Burns. Playing in this championship, no surprise there. You had Saluda last night winning their first state championship. They back-to-back appearances, lost last year. They got a pitcher, Martin. She's really good. She's one of the state's best. The numbers she's put up all year, and they were able to get it done last night. And then we'll see tonight. Gray's going for three in a row. They're and going for an undefeated season, which I don't think has happened. For them, this is their last year in 4A as they go up to 5A. And they were in two, they won in 2A, they won in 4A. And now they'll go to 5A next year and should be good. Floor's in their first championship. So it's been a pretty cool to see that. And then you saw a Crescent win last night. So their state championships, and hopefully Indian Land and St. James can finally get played tonight. They've been postponed the last three nights in a row. After playing on Monday. So that was a close game on Monday. So we'll see if they can finish out tonight.
Lou, we thank you so much, man. I hope you can hibernate in July. You got a vacation coming up?
Yeah, a couple. Yeah. So I'll be good. But yeah, we get through this. Hopefully we'll finish up tonight, tomorrow. Doesn't have to go to next week, because I know the forecast doesn't look great for Saturday for games that are supposed to be played. So we'll see. But it's been
crazy.
Fun.
Isn't it crazy? We had almost no weather through all of this, and then it got to state championship week, and it was like, yeah, let's rain every day.
Yeah, like the whole season. I don't think you could handful like the whole year of postponements and that. And yeah, it's hopefully good weather tonight and no delays in tonight's matchups.
Yeah, they had to blow the dust off the tarps. They had to get cobwebs off the tarps, then bring them out. Lou, man, we appreciate it so much. We'll see you on the football fields, on the sidelines this fall, this Friday, Friday Night Lights this autumn. And Lou, we appreciate the heck out of it, man. And we'll, of course, follow you as you close out the academic athletic calendar here for us.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, Lou Bazejack from the state newspaper. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, Leading Edge guest line will feature Heather Tucker, head coach for Somerville softball. She's just won another state championship, so we will give her her flowers and talk about her team when we come back. This is Four Quarter Friday. Back on Four Quarter Friday, back to the Leading Edge guest line. Somerville softball has won yet another state championship. They did it this time in front of a packed house. Heather Tucker, the head coach of that club, joins us. Coach, we want to welcome you, congratulate you, and then as you join us, tell us, if you would, about the support, because I saw some of the photos, and it looked like people were, like, hanging in from the outfield fence to watch you win this championship.
Oh, yeah. Ton of community support. I mean, our field was packed. We cut down some of the windscreen around the field to, you know, give a little bit more visibility and things, and we probably should have cut down some more, but our community just came out in droves. I mean, felt like our whole athletic staff, all the different coaches from all the different teams were there, a lot of the players, I mean, obviously parents, and just other community members from the town of Somerville came out, and I mean, it was a packed house. It was a great environment to play in, so.
Coach, thanks for being here. We're excited about what you guys have done down there. Obviously, not a new thing to win a softball state championship for you and this team, but how is this one different? 3 out of 4. How's this one different than the last two? And just talk a little bit about this team. What makes this year's team special?
Absolutely. I'd say any championship you can ever win is special. first, second, third, whatever. But our team this year, I think there was a lot of doubt surrounding our group of kids. We graduated some really talented seniors last year. And but our kids, we kind of lost last year at the end, and we're so close, and it was a heartbreaker. And these kids, they kind of vowed that, hey, that's not happening again. We're going to get on this stage. And they knew what it takes. I mean, there were so many of them that had played in the 23 and 24 state championship games and the 25. And they did all they could to get back to it. And it started, you know, I would say the day after we lost, you know, last season. And these kids just put the grind in, and just so much heart and so much belief, and a great senior class that we have. Just led our team, a very selfless group of kids. And just, God, my gosh, just so proud of them. It's so hard to get to, you know, go through an entire season, get to a state championship game, and then you're on that stage, and there's a lot of nerves and things. But they pulled it out. We had a tough opponent in Burns, and we knew it would be a battle. And I'm just so proud of them. So,
you talk about the ability to battle, right, and kind of having that heart. Game one goes 9 innings in Duncan. What did getting that and a delay there as well, that's kind of been the theme of this championship week. What did all that adversity do for you guys coming back home for game two? How did that kind of propel you, or did you see fatigue at all? Because that's kind of the hidden conversation here that a lot of people aren't going to say is, like, you know, AC Flora and Airport playing until 1 a.m. last night on the baseball field and going to turn around and play again tonight. What did you see from your club after a delay and extra innings game in game one?
Well, we knew weather was going to be a potential issue. I mean, we were watching the radar and things like that and the forecast, and it didn't look good for Monday. We knew we had a long 3+ hour bus ride to get down there. But we had to talk ahead of time, like, guys, we're going to control the things that we can. The weather's not one of them. Lightning delays, things like that, those are not things that we have any control over. We had a nice bus ride down there. We had our plan. We got out, we warmed up, we got going, had, you know, we're right in it in the third inning when we got that lightning delay. And I was like, all right, that's fine. We'll go take a little break. We put him back on the bus for a little bit. And I was like, hey, we're not going home. We're just taking a little break until we can get back on this field. And then they came right back out when we got the lightning delay was over, and we were taking a little time to wait for the field to get ready and things like that. And they came back out on fire, and it was a battle. I mean, my gosh, it was back and forth. And there were moments where we were down and our kids kept coming back and fighting, and kind of knew in a moment where it was tied up there for a little bit. They're like, all right, we got to pull this thing out, because we do have a long bus ride home after this, and it was already late. And going into extra innings and scoring 2 runs in the ninth was huge, because we knew Burns is a pretty solid team. And so to get 2 in the extra inning and the tiebreaker was big, and then be able to pull it out on defense and again, just scrape out of there with the win was huge. It was a late night for us. We all probably got to bed, I'd say Monday night, but it was more like Tuesday morning, probably about 4:30 a.m. is when I actually climbed in the bed. And I knew the kids were about the same time. And so we were fortunate where we weren't playing game 2 until Wednesday. But the fatigue and all, when you're traveling across the state to go play these teams, it's a definite factor. And like you guys mentioned before, the weather, you know, we'd have a wonderful spring where we haven't had to stress about weather at all. And you get to the playoffs and the state championship, where, I mean, you're on the biggest stage and weather's become a huge factor for all these teams. So it is one of those things you got to think of. But I think a lot of teams, when you get to this point, you're going to do whatever you can to find a way to win, because you've worked so hard to get here and you put so many countless hours and things into it. So just proud of our kids for the resilience that they played with. And yeah, definitely tough for a lot of these teams to deal with this week.
A lot of dirt on those uniforms in that state championship photo. Coach, I've been a part of so many of those softball environments, and I'd love to hear you talk about this a little bit, because I don't think, unless you follow the sport this closely, you know how intense it is, how the next pitch could be the one that changes everything. Tell me about the life lessons that these players have learned by going through this, because when you face good pitching at your level, it's just, you can't let go of the rope for a minute. You cannot make mistakes. So tell me about the life lessons that you've seen from the championship teams moving forward.
Well, adversity is a part of everything. So it's definitely a part of sports, and it's going to be a part of your life. Things are not always going to go the way you want. You're going to be in tough moments, and you can decide how you're going to react to those things. And so that's a big thing that we preach, you know. Hey, you're allowed to make mistakes, but it's really important what you do right after that. You know, you can kind of cower down, and or you can jump right back up and get going and get after it. And our kids did just that. I mean, we were in the sixth inning of this game, and, you know, it was tied, and it was like, oh, come on, can we please, you know, get a run? And we had two outs, and you know, our kid that was up was 0-2, number nine in our lineup, Haley Sexton. And she stepped up with a huge hit, and we risked it and sent the kid on second home. And it was a close play, and got her in. And then later on, we had runners on second and third, and Katie Gilliam, excuse me, one of our seniors, stepped up big and drove in two runs. And, you know, they just, I would say these kids, they work so hard when absolutely nobody's watching. So that when they're on a big stage like this, they put the reps in so that they're ready to perform, and they're just trusting their just their preparation. And just anything in life, you know, you want to be good at something, you put the work in, you put the hours in, and it shows. You know, you want to be good at writing, well, write a little bit every day. You want to be good at softball, well, go get some reps in the cage. You know, whatever it is you want to succeed in, if you put the time, effort, and energy into it, you're going to be able to succeed. And our kids do that. My gosh, they play so much softball. We'll have our two-hour team practice, and a lot of them go down just the road to a facility that's literally just steps away from our field, and go put in another hour of reps. And so just hats off to all of our kids and all the work they put in. But they're not just great ball players, but they're absolutely wonderful young people to be around. And their parents and families are wonderful. Sometimes I get a lot of credit for, oh, gosh, coach, your team and how they responded to this and that. I mean, sure, we preach things, but they're getting that at home, too, from their families. And just a great, great bunch of kids.
Coach, it's you mentioned Katie Gilliam, and it's fun to follow you guys on social media. I don't know who's running your X account, but the nicknames, because if you follow along, then you would just know her as Katie G, right? Because that's how she's referred to, I'm sure, amongst you guys and online. So kudos to you in the 2026 world for running that well. I want to talk a little bit, if I can get this photo to come up here. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about what this does moving forward, as you're able to flex a little bit here with 3 out of 4. Obviously you don't want to turn the page too soon and give the flowers to those seniors who really helped you this year, but momentum is a real thing. And we know that in game, but we begin to see it in some of these, dare I say, powerhouse programs, right? Where it is year over year momentum. How does 3 out of 4 propel you and prepare you for what's next in the 2026-2027 school year?
Well, again, like you said, I'm trying to enjoy the moment right now.
Yeah.
Because it's, as people are like, oh, you guys just win all the time. It's like, no, this is extremely difficult to do. I've had the privilege to be here at Somerville High School this is my 23rd year. And it took a lot of work to get here. I'd coached for 20 years and played in 3 state championship games and lost and come up short. And we had some wonderful players and great kids. And, so it is extremely difficult to do. And so We don't take it for granted. Like I said, any time you can get there is a blessing. That picture there is me goofing off because I do not like to act like that. We have some sayings in our program: stay humble, stay hungry. And we're very much blue collar and putting the work in. But we've been able. It's kind of like once you get over the hump and you finally win the first one, it's amazing the belief that your kids have, and that's something special because they got to have it in their heart and they got to have it in their minds that they're capable of doing great things. And that's just something we preach, you know. We also talk about you don't have to be perfect. This game is a game of failure, and you don't have to be perfect. You just got to be one run better than the other team on game night. But our kids, again, they work hard. We start working in the weight room in August. Actually, over the summertime, we start working. But they start getting up. We do weights at 7 a.m. in the morning, and they've all asked for that time to get. They like to get up early and get that workout in and then get ready for school. And it's just, wow, the work that they put in, that they bought into. But it took a group back in 2023 to really help us get over that hump. And as these other kids are coming through the program, they see what it takes. They're watching their older counterparts, and just kind of trying to replicate. Okay, hey, what do they do? And Katie Gilliam's a great example. A lot of our players, some of our younger kids, just look up to her and how she plays the game and how she carries herself. She's extremely humble. One of the hardest working kids I've ever had, and she's been playing on our varsity team. She's in seventh grade, and been a huge contributor. And we're definitely going to miss her a ton. Her leadership, the way she plays the field, how she helps everybody on our infield. But not just her. Another senior, Jaden Bennett, who was on the 2023 team, held down center field for us for the last 4 years. Great leader, leads by example, works so hard. And another senior I want to mention is Daphne Frady, who pitched for us this year. She'd almost, a lot of people would describe, she kind of waited her turn to get on the mounds, but she wasn't just waiting. She was working in the background. And when her moment came this year, she wanted the ball for every game, and she really stepped up. And just, I think a lot of our players looking at a lot of those seniors and even some of our seniors that graduated last year and the success that they had, you know, what are the things that they were doing? How did they act on the field? How did they act in big moments? And just learning and growing. So when you've got a group that come through that have done it the right way, the younger kids are just kind of following their lead. And so it's really all the credit goes to a lot of these kids. So,
Coach, we love hearing about that. And thank you so much for listing those players. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to those seniors. I encourage you now to go wear what you're wearing and go walk down Somerville Main Street, you know, soak it up, because I know the community is so excited about getting another one for you, Coach.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. That is Coach Heather Tucker, 3 out of 4 at Somerville. Yes, we'll be back in touch. Thanks, Coach. We'll be having you back on, I'm sure, next season as well. Have a great summer. And we've got to take a break because we've got more to talk about. Rob, we've got regionals as well. We've got some high school players that played in our state that will take center stage in college baseball today, the national championship tournament. We've got players from Coastal Carolina, USC Upstate, and many, many from the Citadel. We'll talk about those when we come back. Also, we'll wrap it up with, hey, what to watch for this weekend, because state championships have yet to be decided in some of the classifications. We'll set you up for that, tee you up for the weekend when we come back as we wrap up Four Quarter Friday. Four Quarter Friday, we roll to a close. Matt Smith and Rob Williams. We may have to wait until next week to get to Rob and Jamie Bradford from Inside the Gamecocks making fun of me for not having an iPhone. Will certainly, you'll hear my retort at some point, but I want to get this out. When we do Four Quarter Friday and we celebrate all the championships, all the accomplishments, and I'm glad, Rob, by the way, you pointed out T.L. Hannah, who didn't win the championship but went all the way to the final game. Crazy. The way they fought, the way that T.L. Hannah team fought their way into the playoffs late and then made their run before falling to Chapin in the state championship series, that's something that deserves to be highlighted. We will continue to do that throughout the summer. We won't take a step back because we've got a lot to cover. But it's not just, we don't just like ignore these great athletes once they move on from our high schools, many of whom have gone on to play college athletics elsewhere, meaning outside the state, but also inside the state. Now, today, taking center stage NCAA regionals, Coastal Carolina will play NIU in Tallahassee at 8 o'clock tonight. USC Upstate is going to play Oklahoma State in Tuscaloosa at 2 o'clock. But I really want to highlight this one. The Citadel takes on Oklahoma. Now, I'll tell you, yes, Oklahoma has got, we know, seven figures behind them in terms of the way that their facilities work, assembling the roster, all of those things. Not just SEC money, that Oklahoma oil energy money for years and years that has backed those programs, including baseball. 5 o'clock today in Atlanta, the Citadel takes on Oklahoma. Watch out, OU, because you've got some Palmetto State boys coming for you. Let me list some of these. Michael Gibson out of Northwestern High School. He was the SoCon's most outstanding player, the SoCon tournament's most outstanding player up at Fluor Field. He's batting 394. He's hitting cleanup today for the Bulldogs.
394. Lefty, pretty good, right, Smitty?
Pretty strong, 394.
Everybody listening.
All right, Will Holmes comes at you from the left side, more than 100 strikeouts this season. He will likely start today for the Citadel. He's out of Boiling Springs. So a Bulldog, now pitching for the Bulldogs. Lane Tobin, Somerville. Little nod there to Heather Tucker, just had her on. Lane Tobin out of Somerville. He's the spark plug at the top of the lineup. Jaden Williams from your neck of the woods, Spring Valley, patrols center field for the Citadel. TJ Anderson, former Ainer Blue Jacket, flanks Williams in left. Christian Stratus from Hilton Head plays right. He's batting 342. Zach Hunt, you'll love this story, Rob. Zach Hunt out of Lakeview High School. He leads the Bulldogs with 10 dingers. He wears work gloves, like construction gloves.
It's a great story.
To bat, nod to his farm life as a kid. I actually played with somebody that used gloves like that too. But yeah, so he said, look, I'm going to work. So I just carry these to the plate. Arian Patel out of Hanahan, he plays second base. Oh, and by the way, he's probably going to succeed in life. He's going to get a degree from the Citadel in civil engineering. So watch out for Arian Patel coming to a chamber of commerce near you. Phillips Daniels, AC Flora, is behind the plate. So if Holmes starts, as I expect him to today for the Citadel, that's going to be 8 out of 9 starters for Russell Triplett, hailing from the Palmetto State. The other one's from Gastonia, North Carolina. So Russell Triplett took the job at the Citadel and said, oh, I know where there's players in the Palmetto State, because some of these are transfers. Some of these players had left the state to play elsewhere or were in junior college. And some in the state, like at Florence, Arlington Tech, some out of the state. And Russell Triplett made the decision, well, I'm going to go and focus on these kids and bring them back home. And now look at where they are. Here they are, SoCon champions in the NCAA tournament. If Holmes goes, 8 out of 9 starters for the Citadel will hail from the Palmetto State. And their number 2 starter, also from South Carolina. So chances are they're going to start back-to-back guys here in the regionals from the Palmetto State to go with all those players I just mentioned. So,
South Carolina flavor on there. And it speaks again, Smitty, to the argument that we have said time and time again that there is so much talent in this state. And you could say that across major sports for sure, but it's kind of a baseball state if we really want to get down to the nuts and bolts of it.
I'm going to miss high school baseball season. So I'm going to get my fix today. I'm going to take in as much of this regional action as I can. And so I'm rocking my Citadel blue today. Absolutely. Go Bulldogs. Go Russell Triplett. Go Northwestern and Somerville and AC Flora and Boiling Springs and Ainer and Spring Valley. All you guys, congratulations already on being the SoCon champions. Now go get you a dub against OU. See if you can't shock the world. Again, Airport is hosting AC Flora tonight, 7 o'clock. Rob, I don't know if you can be at that one, but I'll tell you, man, that one is going to be intense with the way they treat baseball at Airport.
It absolutely will be. Backs against the wall. Speaking of, James Island will host Dorman tonight. Their back is against the wall. A couple of big-time matchups in 4A and 5A ball there. And a reminder, in softball, Hanna-Pamlico up 1-0 against Whitmire in Class A. And then in 4A, like we mentioned before, Gray Collegiate is up on AC Flora 1-0. And then the St. James Indian Land 5A Division II Game 2 has been delayed. It'll happen tonight, we hope, Smitty, at 5 o'clock. So St. James wins that, or leads that series 1-0, an opportunity for them to close it out tonight or for Indian Land to force a Game 3. And I'll just say this, too, as we get ready to close out here on Four Quarter Friday. Good news coming to us as we're on the air today. Stay tuned. FourQuarterFriday.com will be here before you know it.
That's right. And look, we can't get to it all in this hour. I've got to say this as we roll into Inside the Gamecocks elsewhere on the network. Southside Christian, fifth straight state title under Scott Freeman. Congratulations to Southside Christian. They had to come from behind to beat the Oceanside Collegiate Land Sharks. The Sabres fell behind 5-2 early before Carson Bowman. Yes, that Carson Bowman, the guy that's going to be drafted in the top 10 by the Major League Baseball in the Major League Baseball draft as a lefty, as a left-handed pitcher, delivered a two-run homer to trim it to 5-4. Oceanside was still up 7-6. The Southside Christians, C.J. Abacon, laced a two-run single, put the Sabres up 8-7 in the seventh. And again, I want to stress this. If you think these kids don't care and love their communities, after the game, Carson Bowman, who I said, he's going to the draft. He's got an agent. And he said, these are my best friends. And he talked about going fishing with those guys. Memories were made. More will be made tonight. So follow us at Four Quarter SC. And look for FourQuarterFriday.com coming soon near you. Rob, thank you. We'll get into the iPhone thing when we come back next time together. Inside the Gamecocks with Jamie Bradford is next.